one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, in case you didn't know, there is a cable television channel called the Game Show Network. I don't have it on my lineup. I figure I can live without it. But I've run into it when watching television in hotels from time to time. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you can watch reruns of old game shows, including that episode of The Price is Right from December 1973 that you missed. Now, personally, I can't imagine anything more dreary, but to each his own. Now, one of the old game shows is What's My Line? And that ran from 1950 to 1967. A mystery guest would answer questions posed by a panel of celebrities who would try to guess what the mystery guest's occupation was, to what his life was dedicated. And the questions would receive only a terse yes or no response. Well, today's gospel is sort of a What's My Line episode with John the Baptist, who answers questions from the experts who are trying to find out just who he is and what he's all about. Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? Who are you? Who or what do you represent? To whom or what are you dedicated? And they, of course, fail. And so John tells them very simply, I am a voice. Now, suppose some folks asked you what you were about. To whom is your life dedicated? To what is your life dedicated? What part do you play in the grand scheme of things? We would all end up being identified as representing something. We are all a voice for something, even though we might speak with no words. Our actions, as the saying goes, speak louder than our words. Our actions voice what we're all about. Now, Advent is that time of the year when we celebrate the coming of God into our humanity, into your personal life and into mine too. It's that mysterious, unsettling time of the year when we recognize the tension between what is and what is yet to be, what we are and what we can be, what has been accomplished and what is yet unfinished in our enterprise of living. A wise person once said that happiness is something to do, someone to love, and something to hope for. And if you and I can live lives dedicated to making the lives of others a little bit better than they once were, if we can find ourselves in the midst of what is transcendent in life, giving love to the loveless, being loved in return, if we can live each day as if we were in the presence of Christ, or rather with his presence reaching and touching others through us, then that's no small thing to have happened in the life of any man or woman. Now, hopefully, if we were the mystery guest on some television show, we would be identified as Christ followers. But would there be enough evidence available for people to identify us and know what we're all about? Here are some things, I think, that should identify who we are and what we are about as Christians. Number one, we are known for assembling with other believers at public worship every Sunday. As I've said before, one of the best ways that you can give voice to your faith by your actions is for your neighbors to see your car missing in your driveway on Sunday morning. That is no small witness to them. Secondly, as Christians, we are known to be moral persons, respected for having high standards of ethics, morality, and character. There should be plenty of evidence by which others could identify us as people of principle and goodness in the way we conduct our affairs, our businesses, the way we treat other people. People should be able to take us at our word without needing reams of paper contracts to enforce our agreements and commitments. Thirdly, we're known to be prayerful people, and I don't mean ostentatiously praying in public so that we can be seen, but rather being prayerful people that have a certain aura around us. An atmosphere around us of serenity and peace, even in the midst of everything going to hell in a handbasket around us. A spirit of peace and calmness that people recognize as coming only from a deeply prayerful person. Next, we have an attitude, a habit of being kind, gentle, respectful, sensitive to others, compassionate and caring. We have an attitude that could be seen in the eyes of someone like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, a face that reveals the presence of the heart of Christ, a smile and a tone of voice that can only come from being close to Jesus. Fifthly, we're known for being joyful people. Not a sort of plastic, superficial cheeriness, but a deep down, quiet, interior joy. The third Sunday of Advent is traditionally known as Gaudete Sunday. And Gaudete is Latin for rejoice. We light a pink candle, a rose candle, rather than the traditional blue one. The point is to offer a foretaste of the joy of Christmas. But most importantly, to offer a reminder of just how true it is all year long that an unmistakable, infallible mark of a Christian is joy. Oliver Wendell Holmes, who was no friend to Episcopalians, once said that I would have become a minister except that most ministers reminded me of undertakers. And can the same be said about you in your daily ministry? Are you a joyful person? St. Paul says, rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. So, let's. Today's gospel is about John the Baptist answering questions from the religious experts who are trying to find out just who he is and what he's all about. What or who does he represent? To what or to whom is he dedicated? And he tells them simply, I am a voice. Suppose someone asked you, what's your line? To whom is your life dedicated? To what is your life dedicated? What part do you play in the grand scheme of things? Would they succeed or would they fail at identifying what, or rather whom, you stand for? What's your line?